الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى اهل بيته الاطيبين الانجلين بهم نتولى ومن اعدائهم نتبرأ الى الله. اللهم كن لوليك المسجد ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى ابائه في هذه الساعه وفي كل ساعه، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه ارضك الله وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Accept our servitude, worship, ibadat, the qabool and hasan for each one present over here, for everyone who has haja, for mu'min, alam, salawat. Thursdays and Fridays, they have a special program. That is, the program starts from the time of Maghrib on Thursday, ends at Maghrib on Friday. So there are a lot of things to be observed. And if someone wasn't lucky enough to do all of these a'mal, that is, the special prayers on Maghrib and then dua kumain, and then ghusl of Friday prayers, and then dua nudwa, and then dua simat, etc. The teaching is that you recite 100 salawat and that will make up whatever you have lost. And one other thing is that we've got a salawat which is known as Salawat Abu al-Hasan Zarrab, page 1, slide 1. Now you've got that available online. It's a small, beautiful salawat which is to be recited on a Friday and nearer to the time of Maghrib, or even Friday afternoon, whenever you can do it. So it's basically salutations and salawats which are being, next page, which are being sent on the 14 Ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam, and it is a beautiful dua, or basically it's just the salawat that starts with Allah salli ala Muhammadin Sayyid al-Mursaleen Khatam al-Nabiyyin wa Hujjat Rabbil Alameen Al-Muntajabi fi al-Mithaq Al-Mustafa fi al-Dhalal Al-Mutahhar min kulli afa. It goes on and on, and it is only on the salawat to be sent on to Ma'sumeen, and then comes to the Imam of time, and then it's all prayers to the Imam. Says that Allahumma jaddid bihi mantaha min dinik, that is, by the presence of the 12th Imam, you renew whatever has been forgotten in deen. Then it is dua for the Imam for him to be sent so that he starts his mission. So it is a beautiful dua to be recited on Fridays. You've got it online. It's called Abu al-Hasan Zarrabi. You've got it on in different formats on YouTube, in a video form. So look into it, and if you could add on to your weekly schedule, that is Abu al-Hasan Salawat, Abu al-Hasan Zarrabi, it is called. It's about 12 minutes if you were to listen to it. Coming back to our topic, and that is ascension to prosperity. It was mentioned that we've got different types of remembrances, that a person remembers the existence of Allah in different ways. Sometimes this remembrance is by his tongue, sometimes it is through his heart, and sometimes it is by his actions. And the best of all is remembrance of Allah through one's actions. Now those actions would remember Allah once the tongue has embraced, the heart has certified, then actions also will complete it. So that is zikr qalbi, zikr lisani, zikr qalbi, as it was mentioned. Now if we have this remembrance in our heart, that remembrance, which is known as zikr qalbi, it would protect our hearts from waswasa, from the temptations of shaitan, as it was mentioned, Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub, that indeed It is by the remembrance of Allah a heart is at rest. And again it was mentioned that praised thoughts and all the different kinds, that how we should clean our thoughts and our minds, our hearts, and that is by the dhikr qalbi, by the remembrance of the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in one's heart. And for that again, repeatedly it was mentioned that we have to train our tongues so that they remember. That is through all these different recitals. It shouldn't be as such that we have these recitals only on Laylatul Qadr, only on 15th of Sha'ban, only when we are stuck, we find no solution and no way out. Now even if we are not stuck, we have no problems. Still if we train our tongues with all these azkar, it's we who benefit. For example, one of the ways and the means of training is that, for example, the means of measurements that we have, it's miles and kilometers. If you were to start your journey from home and going to your place of worship, for example, if it's 30 miles, so you can count it in, for example, salawats. And for example, from Denton to here, it may be 1,000 salawats. So if someone sits in his car and puts his mobile phone aside, you don't need to talk on the mobile all the time. And we don't need to see the emails and all. It is job, it is work. But the more we get addicted to that stuff, the more we get addicted. So if you put all that stuff aside and then stick to these remembrances, recitals, that is something which we will benefit here and in the hereafter both. During the time of Marhum Imam, he says, Imam Khomeini, he says that in his study circle, there was a person that when he used to walk in the streets, there was a special fragrance which he possessed. No one had guts to ask him, what is that? Now one of these students, he was smart, and he says that it was as such that whenever he passed in the lanes in the streets, everyone knew it is that person who is walking in the streets. Once he came to the door, and before he could knock, people inside the homes, they knew who was at the door. And then he says that when I went to open the door, I asked him, this perfume you wear, it's something which is not available in the markets. What is that? And it is something which is from the beyond. He says, truly speaking, I had a vision, a dream. And there it was a majlis, about 70 people in that majlis. And there Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present, and he poses this question that who recites the most salawat on me. He said that I do recite salawats a lot, but there might be someone who recites more than me. So I stayed quiet. And he inquired again, second time with the same assumption, with the same answer, I sat quiet. For the third time when he inquired, I was quiet, then Rasulullah stands, comes to me and kisses me. Says from the moment he kissed me, that fragrance was blessed. That was as a result of that recital of salawat which he used to recite. So this is a teaching to us that we have to train ourselves, we have to recite. This tongue has to move in the positive way. The more we recite, the more we will benefit. And again, each salawat which is sent upon Rasulullah and his household, it is as if the heart of an individual, it enlightens. There is a hadith from our second Imam. He says that this heart, it has a lid. And that lid constantly opens and closes. And a time comes when the lid, it gets rusted and it won't open. And then Imam says the lubricant or that WD-40 which would keep that lid of that heart constantly moving, it's this recitation of salawat. Allah says, so the more salawats we recite, the more we get enlightened. Now all the way we've passed and crossed that way, we've traveled that journey. If for example 1,000 salawats all the way from our home to our work, one way and on the return we do it, that's a great asset that we will benefit, we will get, we will earn for this dunya and the hereafter. That is a reminder that if we change the measures that we measure the distance in miles and kilometers, let's do it in salawats. 1,000 salawats from here to work, 500 from here to where? And again, these recitals, they play a miraculous effect. When Rasulullah, he ascends to Mi'raj, and Jibreel shows him all the different sites. They come to a point, and then they see a palace being made. So it's so beautiful, so neat, as if blocks of gold being laid on blocks of silver. And it is so neatly built, these blocks are being laid, that even that groove which is seen when two blocks are laid beside each other, that is not being seen. It's so beautiful. Now the angels who are building that palace, they lay a block and then they sit quiet. Rasulullah says to Jibreel that why are they not quickly making that palace? Why don't they complete the job in one go? Then Jibreel says to Rasulullah, this building over here belongs to such and such a mu'min living in dunya. The day, the moment he recites Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wala ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, once one block is laid over there. So the more he sends, the more building material he sends from here, the quicker it will be built over there. So again, it's something which we are making, which we are building over there, and that is for our own benefit. So these recitals, to which so much of importance has been given in all of our books of du'as, it is to train our tongues. If we train our tongues, then the heart gets trained again. Now, when it is said 1,000 salawat, or if you look, for example, this namaz which we recite for Imam al-Asr, which has 100 times, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, or on Laylatul Qadr, it is said that do that 70 times, do that 100 times, do that 300 times. Why is all of those numbers? What do those numbers do? One of the things that is, one of the secrets hidden behind these numbers is that because out of those 300 times which we say, out of those 1,000 times which we repeat, we don't know which one of that was sincere in every aspect, which one of that was with khulus. Might be out of those 100 times which I say, one hits the target. So we have to train ourselves so much that might be out of those thousands of salawats that were recited, just one of them hits the target. Or when we call Abul Fazl, or we call Amir Mu'minin saying Ya Ali, might be out of those millions of times we say throughout our life, one time hits the target which was with from the depth and the core of our heart, and that makes him reply and respond. So that is why we are set to train ourselves so much. Now that is the first stage of dhikr, that is dhikr al-lisan. And again, there were so many qualities that were mentioned that a soul has to possess, and certain demerits, certain raza'il that we ought not to possess. And among them, it's makr, makr hila, which is being deceitful, cunning. That is among those negative qualities that a person must not possess. And if he possesses those qualities, that is being cunning and being deceitful, Rasulullah, he says that one who possesses this quality is not from me. The next positive quality that a person has to possess, which is among the faza'il, it's khawf, fright. So it's khawf that a person has to possess, and that is praised. Now this khawf, again, it's of different categories. Some of them are praised, some of them are not praised. Or for example, one of the khawf which a person possesses and which is not liked, it's liked and it is disliked, it's he possesses them and then he is hated by the aql. For example, and that is of a few kinds. Khawf means fright. For example, we fear death. Why do we fear death? What are the reasons behind that, that we fear death? And if death has a fright, has a fear, has a khawf, how can that fear be corrected? So the fear of death can be corrected by correcting our aqaid. If the fundamentals were fine, were solid, were concrete, then there would be no fear of death. Because all those reminders that we talked yesterday, talqeen, and before that dua adila, and then in the grave again talqeen, it's all these reminders. Why? To have that base firm. If that base was firm, we'll come to this point that that when a person starts sakarat, sakaratul maut means the pains that a person would see when he starts noticing that he is departing from this world. The pains, they are so severe that at times many of these bases and fundamentals that we had and we observed and were shaky, we just forget them. So if these usul, the fundamentals, were shaky and were not concrete and firm, upon seeing the horror and the pain of death, we may forget that. So that is why we are said that have those strong, have them concrete. That khawf of death, it's good to possess, that based upon that khawf and fright of death, a person, he can correct his performance. And in a hadith, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says that says, "Wallah la ibn Abi Talib anasu bil maut min at-tifl bi sabi ummih." Says that Ali, the son of Abu Talib, he is so much acquainted with death as a baby is acquainted with the mother's breast. He is so much acquainted with death. So fearing the punishments due to the sins he has committed, this is a praised quality which a person possesses, that having those sins in mind, he constantly corrects his performance. If we look into this Surah Yasin, we say that وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ, that whosoever Allah gives a long age, he becomes broken down, he becomes so weak. So it's to and fro. A person, the longer a age he has, again the more he's broken down, because that is how the human body works. So wishing for a long life, only for a long life, it would do us no good, because that long life which we possess will have all the pains, the afflictions, the problems that a person sees in that long life. So a long life is good if we ask Allah, but if we possess these faza'il in it, that is these virtues in it, so with those virtues it would be as such that this human body or this human being, he would elevate as a result of that, those faza'il which he will possess. The more faza'il we have, the more contamination we remove from ourselves, the higher the rank of a person would be and more he would ascend. There is a hadith which says that we have to correct ourselves at a young age. If we cross a certain age, then correction becomes very difficult. Hadith says that if a person reaches the age of 40 and he hasn't corrected himself, says Shaitan, he comes to him to say happy birthday, and then places his hand on the head of this person who has turned 40 and he hasn't corrected himself, pats him, blesses him, says that may my father be sacrificed on you, Shaitan says to this person, may my father be sacrificed on you, that the doors of salvation have closed on you now. So we have to be smart and correct ourselves all these negative things, although it doesn't mean that it is impossible. It is possible at any age a person can correct himself, but that is the best age, that before he turns 40, to correct himself as much as he can. So all these negative qualities that we have talked about, they should be put aside, and the younger a person is, the better it is for him to correct. And that is why we find that khawf, it is a praised quality, it is a good quality a person possesses, and says innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama, that from among the servants of Allah, from among the slaves and creation of Allah, those who fear Allah the most are the knowledgeable, are the ulama. Or elsewhere the Holy Prophet says that ana akhwafukum lillah, that my fear towards Allah is the most compared to everyone in this entire creation of God. Now this, the lowest level of this fear that we can possess, it's by refraining from sins, that we put away all these, this wrong and the sins. Why? due to the fear of Allah. So that is the basic level of fear. Khawf also has many levels. The next level up is that we put away every makruh, everything which is makruh, we put it away. Why? Due to the fear of Allah. That is the next level up. The next level up again is that we put away everything which is shubha. Shubha means we don't know whether this is right. For example, music is being played and we don't know. We cannot judge whether or not this music which is being played is right or wrong, is halal or haram. So we don't know, we just don't listen to it. Because that music, it's shubha, it's unknown to us, and we can't gauge whether it's right or wrong. And furthermore, the next level up, it's vain, anything which is vain. It could be vain talk, bakwas ka man chakate. It could be any vain acts, doing something which has no good, no benefit at all. Or just spending away our time, spreading out the legs, watching movies and films. Now once in a while for some entertainment to get some rest, it is okay. But just spending our time on all this stuff, that is vain. When we compare that with something better that could have been performed, we find that that was wrong. So that is vain. That is how we gauge vain. And one of the names given to the Day of Judgment is Yawm al-Hasra. We have Yawm al-Qiyamah, we have Yawm al-Hasra, and all these different names, Yawm al-Waqi'ah, Hashr, etc. What does Hasra mean? Regret. Yawm al-Hasra, the day of regret. That a person, he will regret on the Day of Judgment. Regret for what? That I wish I would have done something better in that spare time. So that is when a person will regret on the Day of Judgment. To avoid him regretting on the Day of Judgment, so the next level in that khawf category is to put away everything which is vain, which comes in vain talk, which could be anything which just... And the same thing, if we could, while driving, instead of just talking away on the mobile, just listening to this trash radio and etc., if we could use that time in something better, for example, switch it over to this person. So the next level again, further up in this khawf category, is that the heart of an individual, every breath of his, it's pure. Every breath, it is pure, that is sterile in every way. So that there is no palpitation of his heart, there is no breath which he breathes when Allah does not exist. That is the highest level, that is the highest stage. So this fear of Allah is the best. That if a person fears Allah, that fright of his can be seen in his action. That fright can be seen in his performance. Jibreel alayhi salam, he never came to the Holy Prophet, but that he was shaken all the time. That is due to the fright which he possessed from the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And on one occasion, Rasulullah, he asks Jibreel, says that I never saw Mikael laugh, smile. We've got these angels. Jibreel is the one who brings forth the revelation. Mikael is the provider of sustenance, food and drink. And then Israfil is the one who will blow the horn. Malakul Maut is the angel who seizes and takes away the soul, the one who kills. So these four angels are the great angels of Allah. So Rasulullah says that I never saw Mikael smile. And then in reply, Jibreel says that ever since Allah created fire, that is the hell, Mikael never smiled because of the horror of that fire which Allah has created. Prophet Dawood, he does commits a tarki awla. Tarki awla means that he has... not a sin, not a makruh, an act which was better for him not to do. Says that due to that tarki awla which Prophet Dawood had committed, he cried so much that once in a while, whenever he was reminded of that wrong, of that tarki awla which he had done, he ran away to the desert outside the city, and there he cried all the way remembering his tarki awla which he had committed. And when he stood for prayers, as a result of his crying, the trees and all the stones present in the desert, they also cried with Prophet Dawood. That is because of the hope. That is why did I do that wrong in the presence of Allah. That is the definition of hope. Oh, Zakaria, his father, he says that I fainted many a time at seeing my son cry so much. Now with this extent, with that extensive crying which he has, says that his cheeks, they were all wounded because of all those tears that were dropped on his cheeks. Again, the same thing can be seen in the performance of Rasulullah. Says that due to the fear which he had for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he fainted many a time during the day because of that fright, because of that fear. Now why don't we fear? Why are we not scared of this? It was mentioned that the worst fear is the fear of a bad end. That we fear a bad end. Now when we are reminded of the sins, we say that sins are bad, they should be put aside. We put aside those sins because of the fear of Allah, that is, He will punish us because of the wrath and chastisements that are fast awaiting us. So we fear, we put away those sins due to that fear. So the definition of that is that because of a bad end, we fear and we put away all these things. Sakaratul maut, again, was mentioned. It's one of those issues that if a person, if he hasn't strengthened his iman, his fundamentals, upon seeing the horror or the pains of death, he may forget his faith and fundamentals and his iman. It means that if he forgets those fundamentals, he would die as a kafir. He would die without iman. Many a times, the performance of an individual, that also plays a part in switching from iman. Quoting from Marhum Shah Abadi, among his students is Sayyid Mahdi. He says that once I woke up, living in Qum, once I woke up for the Namaz al-Shab, the nocturnal prayers. And as usual, his house, he came out. Now in those days, the restrooms were outside the house, in the yard. He says, I came out of my room, of my house, went to the yard where that pond was, to perform my wuzu, and I see the yard of my house, it's not that yard which I had all the time. It's like a huge big yard of one of the shrines of Ma'sumin, which has hundreds of rooms all around. And he says, I was amazed to see that huge big yard in my house. I came down that flight of steps to do my wuzu, and I hear a cry, someone crying loud. And it was from one of those rooms that is outside in the yard. And I go towards that room, the nearer I get, that cry also is severe, more severe. And I come to that door and I see the door is locked shut. I wanted to open, I couldn't. And from those grooves, I peep in and I see that there is a person who has been buried all the way up to his neck. And there are these two beings, the angels, they are as if they are stuffing something into his mouth. And now he wants to break open the door to go and help him, but he couldn't. And then he sees this vision, he just was waiting for the morning prayers, and then rushed to his ustad, Marhum Shah Abadi. Marhum Shah Abadi is the ustad of Irfan and Akhlaq of Marhum Imam Khomeini as well. He comes to the ustad's house. He is shaken up after seeing this horrific scene. And comes to the ustad's house, bangs at the door so much that the ustad, he comes in, says, Sayyid Mahdi, what is it? He hasn't opened the door yet. Why are you so shaky? They showed you a vision, doesn't mean that you have to panic. The door hasn't been opened, and he says from there, from inside. The moment he opens the door, Sayyid Mahdi, he puts himself, throws himself onto the chest of his ustad and says, what is this I saw? He says, what you saw is one of his friends of Sayyid Mahdi, living in Tehran. He says, what you saw was how he was dying, that is, that sakarat, how his soul was being taken, how he was being killed. And the two you saw were the two angels who were seizing away his soul. And the reason why you saw him, he lived and dwelled on interest, sood. His income was from the sood. Because of that bad performance, that bad end he had. And then he said, you saw, says he was dying just now the moment you saw. Says after a while, the next day or the day after, he received a telegram from Tehran saying that his friend has passed away and for his Fatiha he is invited. And he sees the time and the date is exactly the time and the date which he saw how this person was giving away his life. So the performance of an individual, it's how a person he departs from this earth. So majority of those to whom the paradise, the heaven, is being assigned are those people who by nature, by default, or by their essence, they have inclination towards good. Now when we talk about ascension to prosperity, doing good, of cleaning our soul, or purifying our soul, it means putting away all the trash that is inside us. So when we put away all that trash, that is, we are setting ourselves to that default setting which Allah had created us, that is that pure nature which was given to us. And children, when they are born with that good nature. And it is as they grow, instead of those positive qualities which Allah had given to them, instead of those positive qualities growing in them, you find all this contamination and trash which they get from the society, that grows with them, and those good qualities, they are put away. So, most of the people to whom the paradise will be assigned and given are those who are by nature good. So we have to try and correct our nature first to myself. So, to protect ourselves from sinful thoughts. Again, that is something. Khawf was to fear, to have that fright. Fright, khawf, fear had all those different levels. Put away sin, put away makruh, put away vain, put away all those things. And among them are these sinful thoughts. Sinful thoughts, a person, he may not commit a sin. But all these different thoughts, they may come to our minds. And we have to constantly clean them. How can we put away all these thoughts? Now to understand this, in today's easy language, it's on your computer when you're surfing the internet, you get all of these trash sites which just flicker on the screen. So what you do, just X them, close them constantly so that it's gone. So the same way, the thoughts that we have, we get all these different type of thoughts, we have to keep on closing them, putting them away at all times. Not that sit and think about it and enjoy it. That is bad. So the more the thoughts we get, the more we close, the purer, the cleaner our understanding and our thoughts get. Now if we have these thoughts, although sins haven't been committed, mind has been contaminated by all these sinful thoughts, at the time of death, shaitan, he wouldn't bring up these sins that were not committed. These sinful thoughts will be brought to the mind and a person will be just get carried away by these sinful thoughts. That is why we are said that these sinful thoughts have to be put aside. Again, as we live, we would die also in the same way. If we lived good, death also would be good. If the life was bad, death also would be bad. And one of the beauties that a shaheed gets, a person who is a martyr, who dies in the way of Allah, gets, and that is, he gets and enters straight into the heaven, it's because all what he possessed, he has given away, surrendered his life, his possession, everything, for this cause in the way of Allah, and that for that utmost desire of his was God and Prophet, so for him there is nothing to be distracted, nothing to worry, and he would enter the heaven straight away. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in these nights and days of purification help us in purifying ourselves and cleaning ourselves and in associating ourselves with all those who are pure and clean. And on this day, which is Friday, the day of the Imam of Time, may Allah hasten his return and count us among his true supporters and his true servants. We ask Allah, bihaq al-Zahra wa aliha wa ba'aliha wa baniha, to help us in this field of ascension towards prosperity in every aspect, especially our children. And may we be enlisted among the true servants and supporters of the Imam of Time. for all those who are ill and ailing, for all those who have departed, for all those who have wishes, all those who have hard hearts, all those who have requested for du'as, for everything and for everyone present over here, absent from here, not living in this dunya, read out salawat.
Allahumma salli ala